Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Odessa Family YMCA hosts Giggle and Give Fundraiser. The Odessa Family YMCA proudly presents the Giggle and Give Fundraiser, sponsored by Sandra and Toby Olf. The fundraiser will start at 7 p.m. with doors opening at 6 p.m. April the 4th at the Ector Theater, and it will feature comedian Lucas Bond. Tickets are on sale now with general admission tickets priced at $25. Front row VIP seating is available. Sponsorships are also available for this event. Tickets can be purchased at tinyurl.com/YC5MKSMR. For sponsorship information, please contact Tara Crouch at TCROUCH@odessamca.org. We are pleased to have the opportunity to hold a fundraiser at the Ector Theater, thanks to the generosity of Sandra and Toby Olf. Odessa Family YMCA CEO Chrissy Medina said in a news release, "In matching the values with the YMCA, we are excited to welcome comedian Lucas Bond to the Permian Basin for a clean comedy show. We are expected to have a very busy 2024, and this is the perfect event to kick off the start of our annual campaign. The fundraiser will benefit the annual campaign for the Odessa Family YMCA. Those funds will benefit the pre-K program, which they have in partnership with the Ector County Independent School District, youth sports scholarships, and free community events held throughout the year, including Healthy Kids Day. In addition to the comedy show, the Odessa Family YMCA will hold a silent auction with all proceeds going to their annual campaign. Current silent auction items include suite tickets to a Dallas Cowboys football game, artwork from the Odessa Family YMCA Learning Centers, two-night hotel stay in Marfa, WNBA tickets, private dance classes, Odessa Jackalopes tickets, Six Flags / Hurricane Harbor tickets, and many more. They are accepting items for the silent auction. Lucas Bond has been seen on NBC's Bring the Funny and CBS's Coastal Comedy Live, performing with comedy legends like Kevin Hart, Jimmy Fallon, and Dave Capelli. His first comedy special, Too Cool for School, went viral with over 50 million views. CBS 7 News anchor Jay Hendricks will serve as master of ceremonies for the event. Faith Mental Health Community gather to answer, "How are the children?" Author, minister, and mental health justice and disability minister Sarah Lund spoke to a group of clergy and nonprofit professionals Tuesday about how children are faring in the mental health area. The gathering of about 60 was held in the Re Greenhouse Hall at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Lund said she is also on the board of Mental Health America. What she spoke about Tuesday was, "How are the children? Today we came together with faith leaders and mental health care professionals to ask each other the question, how are the children doing in our community? What we heard is that a lot of children are struggling, themselves and their families, with mental health challenges, depression, anxiety, suicide, drug use," Lund said. "Children are experiencing the effects of the pandemic, isolation. There's online bullying, and there's a lot of things they're exposed to that are overwhelming to them. I shared stories from my own family about how we've navigated a suicide loss and how important it is to educate and provide resources. So we're sharing tools, encouraging education in church and in schools, and for every child to have a safety plan to know what their mental health resources are and to create spaces of no stigma and shame where every child can feel encouraged to share when they're struggling. She added that children need to know that it's okay not to be okay, and there are safe adults to talk to if they're having thoughts of self-harm or suicide. There's also 988, the National Suicide Hotline and Suicide Prevention Number. We're really here to share that we care about our children, that in the face of this national mental health crisis, there is hope and healing when we come together and partner both the faith community and the mental health care community and the schools. We're stronger together, Lund said. The safety plan is where every child would have three trusted adults. They would know their name and cell numbers so that if they're having overwhelming thoughts of despair or suicide, they would contact the safe adults in their lives. A lot of times children or teens will tell other children and teens. They haven't been trained or equipped to respond, and they are afraid of telling because that would be a betrayal of their friendships. What we're hoping is that there's a safe person for them to talk to so there can be an intervention and connect them to help and resources, Lund said. Melissa Brenham, Director of Prevention Programs at Permian Basin Regional Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse, said for substance abuse professionals, the gathering was very helpful. We do depend on our faith community as well when we're looking at environmental strategies and changes in our community and with all the sectors that we work with through our coalition. Most importantly is connecting with young people and how the faith-based community can help us, and we can help them having these difficult conversations with them to empower them, Brenham said. The Reverend Dr. Dawn Weeks, pastor of Connection Christian Church, said that the event was a beautiful connection with people in mental health, religious organizations, local mental health counseling centers, and more. Our speaker was challenging us to end the stigma around mental health and to break the silence and speak about it more in our churches and our faith community, as well as in our workplaces, and be a part of the movement to begin healing the mental health in our community, Weeks said. Tom Jones, executive director of the Faith Inclusion Network, a nonprofit that helps churches include people with disabilities, said the program was excellent. She brought a really good message about the need for mental health interventions. She related her own experiences, too. I think all of us in this room today know of people that are struggling, and we are just trying to figure out ways how to help them. She was very inspiring, Jones said. I think one of the goals was to get people together. Faith leaders, counselors, mental health professionals, and social workers to address the problem, and this was a good first step, he added. Jones said he is in the Midland West Rotary Club, and the president of the club has said mental health is one of their priorities. There's just so much interest and need for mental health. Our kids are growing up in an age that just has so many things different than when I grew up, and so many challenges and things to deal with. It's really kind of up to us to give them some support through all this. Dealing with sexuality, drugs, peer pressure, bullying, and any number of issues. So hopefully we can be more aware of that and be aware of what's out there, what kind of supports we can offer teenagers, and they one another too, he added. Oak Ridge Boys to bring farewell tour to WNPAC. The first thing Richard Sturpin wants everyone to know about the Oak Ridge Boys farewell tour is that the band is not about to call it quits. While it may be called a farewell tour, Sturpin, who's been with the Oak Ridge Boys for over 50 years now, insists that this tour will take a long time to finish up. The famous country quartet, including Dwayne Allen, Ben James, and William Lee Golden, will be making a stop in the Permian Basin with a show at 7:30 p.m. March 22nd at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Tickets can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/mptkrzz2. We're looking forward to coming out there, Sturban said in a phone interview. I can speak for all of the Oak Ridge boys that we plan to have a great time. We're looking forward to coming. We want to encourage everyone to come out and celebrate together with us. The tour is less of a goodbye and more of a celebration as the band celebrates its 50th anniversary under its current lineup. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary of the four of us being together, which is a special milestone, Sturban said. That's a milestone that we're proud of. A lot of groups don't accomplish that, and we're honored to do that. We're celebrating our 50th, and we've announced the start of a few months ago of our farewell tour. What we would like to do, and our reason for doing this tour, is to go around to as many places as we can go, all over this country, and say thank you to our fans. Our fans have allowed us to have a long and great career. There's no question about it. Some great things have happened to us over the last 50 years, and we want to say thank you. We have not announced that we are retiring. We are just going around and saying thank you. That'll take us a little while. We'll still be around for a little while doing what we love to do. The original group dates back to World War II when it was known as the Oak Ridge Quartet. That group would disband in the late 50s and be reorganized by a different group of singers. In 1972, Sturban, who had been performing with Elvis Presley, would join the Oak Ridge Boys and the rest would be history. He talked about the phone call he received from Goldman, who said the band was in need of a bass singer. He said the bass singer for the Oak Ridge Boys was leaving and that he wanted to know if I would be interested in taking the job. Sturban said, I made a major decision. I left Elvis and joined the Oak Ridge Boys. A lot of people questioned that. People asked me, how can you leave Elvis and join the Oak Ridge Boys? But I followed my heart. I believed I was doing the right thing. Now, 52 years later, I look back on that decision and I think I made a good decision back then. I never dreamed back then that I would be starting a 50-plus year career. But you never know how things will turn out in your life. Over the last 50 years, the group has earned Grammy, Dove, ACM, and CMA awards, as well as regular appearances at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. The band was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2015. That was a special thing, Sturban said. A lot of times, people will ask me about the great things happened to us over the last 50-plus years, and coming at the top of the list has to be being inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. There's no question about it. Even after 9 years, it's difficult for me to find the right words to describe how special that is. When you look around the room, you'll see Elvis, Johnny Cash, Dolly Parton, and the list goes on. For the Oak Ridge Boys to be a part of that family is so special and beyond words. If you sing country songs for a living, that's the greatest honor. It doesn't get any bigger or better than to be included in the Country Music Hall of Fame. Coming in a close second would be getting to perform at the Grand Ole Opry. That is a very similar situation, Sturban said. We were inducted into the Opry in 2011, and Little Jimmy Dickens inducted us. That was a special time. Anytime we walk into the Opry now, we feel like we belong. We feel like family. It's very special. There's no doubt the group is looking forward to coming out to perform in the Odessa Midland area, as Sturban mentioned, Odessa's own Gatlin Brothers. We have been to Midland and Odessa on several occasions, Sturban said. The first time that we were there, we played with Larry Gatlin of the Gatlin Brothers. They're good friends of ours. We know them pretty well. They're looking forward to coming back to Odessa Midland. For more information about the show, go to tinyur.com/EKKP6CWE. Obituaries. Roy Wilford Payne, age 48, of Odessa, died Monday, February the 26th, in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 3 p.m. March the 7th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Gary Michael Pylon, age 68, of Odessa, died Thursday, February the 29th, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date, and arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Chelsea Teresa Whitaker, age 52, of Odessa, died Friday, March the 1st, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. McCoy Curley died on Sunday, February the 25th. A celebration of life will be held on Friday, March the 8th, at 3 p.m. at Taylor Street Church of Christ, 216 East Taylor Street in Hobbs, New Mexico. PHS Choirs invited to perform at Carnegie Hall. The famous answer to the question of how you get to Carnegie Hall is practice, practice, practice. Permian High School varsity choirs have been doing just that and are set to perform at Carnegie Hall March the 17th. The choirs were invited by Mid-America Productions, and the groups are led by Director of Choirs Laurie Wash. There are 60 students participating in the Carnegie Hall performance. The students are excited about traveling to New York. This will be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for many of them, Wash said. The invitation to perform at Carnegie Hall came in during the last school year. We have been preparing since October. They're wonderful, Wash said of the students. They are beautiful singers. It is a joy to make music with them. We are excited about our collaborative artists that will be playing with us as we sing during the concert on Monday night. Eric Baker has gathered brass and timpani musicians for us, and they will be playing with us. Gail Bizzle will be playing with us, and there are other collaborative artists that are also playing with other choirs during the same concert. At Carnegie Hall, the students will perform with orchestra members. I'm so greatly looking forward to that. They need to have those experiences, working together with other kinds of musicians to make music. It's just incredible, Wash said. We are just so honored to have the opportunity to sing in that space. While in the Big Apple on their five-day trip, they will see some Broadway musicals. That will be a wonderful thing. We're excited they'll get to do that, Wash said. Executive Director of Fine Arts Aaron Hawley said they are incredibly proud of the Permian Choir for their upcoming performance at Carnegie Hall. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for most of our students and teachers. We are appreciative of all the hard work of the students and teachers to prepare for such a momentous performance. Go Mojo, Holly said. Dear Tony, recently in your Medicare column, you discussed services that are not covered by original Medicare, such as dental, vision, long-term care, and other items. I thought Medicare covered long-term care, but was wrong because my mother suffered a severe stroke and her rehab facility notified me that Medicare is not paying for my mother's care. Beginning next week, for her to receive care from this facility, it will have to be private pay or she will have to go home. I need help understanding this confusing Medicare system. What is the difference between rehab slash skilled nursing care and long-term care? I thought they were both the same. Thanks for your help. Signed, Sue from Little Rock, Arkansas. Dear Tony writes back, Hi, Sue. Trying to understand the rules of Medicare when a loved one has a severe illness and requires both medical and custodial care is very frustrating. People are living longer today and want to control the quality of care, especially when they need assistance as their health begins to change. So I will try to explain what long-term care is in simple terms. Page 56 of the 2024 Medicare and You Handbook under Paying for Long-Term Care discusses how important it is to plan now to maintain your independence and receive the proper care in the setting you desire. Medicare only pays for medically necessary skilled nursing facility care or for home health care if you meet certain conditions. Skilled nursing has 100 days of benefit, with days 1 through 20 having a zero copay per day and days 21 through 100 with a specified copay per day. If you cannot qualify or do not meet Medicare's qualification for skilled nursing, you will pay 100% of the cost out of your pocket. This is when having purchased a long-term care policy becomes essential. Long-term care includes medical and non-medical care for those who have a chronic illness or disability. They may need help with activities of daily living such as bathing, dressing, eating, transferring, continence, ability to use the bathroom, or have cognitive impairment. At least 70% of people over 65 will need long-term care services at some point. Long-term care can be provided at home, in an assisted living facility, personal care home, or nursing home. Long-term care can be very costly. The average cost ranges from $54,000 a year for a one-bedroom assisted living facility to $94,900 for an average nursing home. Original Medicare does not pay for these services. Below are some options to pay for long-term care. 1. Purchase a long-term care insurance policy. The younger you are when you purchase a long-term care policy, the lower the premiums will be. Many wait too long, and qualifying is not easy because of health issues that keep one from meeting the underwriting requirements. Begin searching for a plan while you are younger and in good health. 2. Purchase a life insurance policy with a long-term care provision. Many life policies have such a provision so that you can receive a certain amount of your life policy's face amount. 3. Research what your qualifications are for your specific state's Medicaid. Verify what must be spent down to qualify. 4. Aid and attendance benefits with the VA can help veterans and spouses with long-term care issues. 5. Dedicate personal resources such as savings, IRA, 401k, to help pay for long-term care needs. Americans are concerned about a chronic illness being their biggest retirement expense if not planned for properly. Remember, with Medicare, it's what you don't know that will hurt you. Email your LTC or Medicare questions to info@tonysays.com. That's info@tonysays.com. Or call Tony Says at 832-519-8664 for additional help. Monday, March 4th and Monday, March 11th, Tony is live on nccradio.org discussing Medicare with Bill Horan from Nassau Community College in New York.
This is the Dear Abby column. Dear Abby, my husband wants me to wear more revealing clothing. I've always enjoyed dressing attractively and have never felt behind the times or like a frump, but I do have my opinion about what is appropriate. For example, If I'm wearing leggings, I wear a long top to cover my bum. My outfits are attractive and not ultra-conservative by any means, but I'm not a crop-top, low-cut, skin-tight kind of gal. I want to be attractive to my husband, but I am growing really annoyed by his pestering me to wear things in public that make me feel like I'm oversharing. He says he's a guy, and he would know if it's inappropriate. I conceded a few times, but it just felt showy and uncomfortable. Your thoughts? Signed, Stingy with the Goods in Maine. Dear Stingy, my thought is, do nothing that makes you feel self-conscious. Your husband may be a guy and thinks he knows what is appropriate attire, but the bottom line is that you must be comfortable and not feel embarrassed by what you are showing when you are out in public. Dear Abby, my wife has immersed herself in politics to the extreme. She believes the other side is wrong no matter what. We are in the same political party, but I don't paint as broad a brush as she does on various issues. I try to change the subject if politics arises. I try to keep an open mind until I get all the facts, whereas she listens to nothing that could be positive about the other side. You guessed it, our discussions always turn into fights and anger with each other. Any suggestions? Signed, Tired of Talking Politics. Dear Tired, in the interest of saving your marriage, because talking about politics causes fights and lingering anger, agree to defer listening to the news broadcast together and engaging in those conversations until after the next election. Dear Abby, my daughter is being married. My wife is demanding that I tell her that my stepdaughter, Gia, my wife's only daughter, must take part in the wedding. Gia, who is several years younger, is self-absorbed and has made no effort to be close to her older siblings. My wife has indulged and catered to Gia's every whim since she was a little girl. My daughter wants a short ceremony, and she doesn't want her stepsister to have a role. She has chosen her close friends since high school to be her bridesmaids. My wife thinks it's my daughter's duty to include Gia in her wedding. Is my wife right? Signed, Exasperated Husband. Dear husband, no rule of etiquette requires your current wife's self-centered daughter to play a role in your daughter's wedding. If you are arm-twisted into allowing your wife to insert Gia into the wedding as more than a guest, have her stand by the guest register to ensure everyone signs in. That way, she'll be away from the altar and out of the picture. You can contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.